Hey friends, welcome to Yoga and Podcasts. This show explores how yoga can cross over into daily life. Join your host, me, Ashley Weber, bi-monthly as I interview mind-body luminaries worldwide, as well as a sprinkling here and there of my own solo episodes, as I do have a lot to share as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode, y'all. Joining us on today's episode is physical therapist and owner of Out Wellness, Sid Young. Welcome, Sid. Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super stoked to be here.
Yeah. We're just going to jump right in. Would you care to share with us who you are and what you're about in this world of physical therapy and Out Wellness?
Man, that's a loaded question. Yeah, so I've been a physical therapist since 2020. My first 2 years out, I did a residency and a fellowship at like a big orthopedic clinic, and just kind of wanted to serve my community in a more meaningful way. And so that's what drove me to start my own business. That was about 3 years ago. And so now I just am really passionate about creating a safe space for queer folks to assess and get better at their health and wellness goals. And yeah, it's been really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So could you share a little more in depth about what inspired you to create Out Wellness, like more in depth?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a queer person. So I think first and foremost, my lived experience as a patient in these health and wellness spaces, and I have the privilege of presenting as a cis white woman, and so I can not disclose parts of my queerness at times where it feels unsafe for me. And I know a lot of my queer family doesn't have that privilege. And I just, you know, I was feeling like a lot of the time I felt unsafe, or like I would get worse care if I were to disclose some of that information. And yeah, so that's really kind of what drove me to initially do it. And now, like, it's maybe even a little bit greater than that, and saying, like, all marginalized people have a similar experience, where, like, my passion is for the queer community because that's my family and, you know, that's kind of where my passion lies. But cis women have that experience. People of color have that experience. Like, there, anybody who is not a cis white man has that experience. And so yeah, I wanna build this out to be like people with physical disabilities, you know, all types of people who don't fit into this mold, kind of see themselves in this space and feel like they can come to this space and have an affirming experience that they might not have had before.
That's awesome. That's so needed in the world, and I can completely relate to what you're speaking to. Okay, so yoga culture has an emphasis on community. Could you elaborate even in deeper detail on what type of community you are attracting and cultivating with Out Wellness?
Community is the center point of what we do, really. Like, you know, physical therapy and training maybe don't, they're not the most fun things to always do, right? Like, yeah. People aren't like, I am so excited to go to physical therapy today. So, and I get that. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is. But people show up for community. And I'm really proud of kind of what we're building and what we've already built, especially in the transgender space. And so we kind of hunkered down on our trans chosen family because of all of the legislation that has come up over the past, I'll say 2 years, it's been a lot longer than that, but in the past 2 years, it's been significantly worse than usual. And I just feel really passionately about creating a safe space for trans people to, one, just create community, but two, take care of health and wellness needs like everybody else. You know, they have the same injuries that everybody else get from all of these different things. And it's really, really tough for them to go into general health and wellness spaces, especially medical spaces, and get the care that they deserve, because a lot of times, almost always, they're going in and they're like, my shoulder hurts, and they're like, it's because you're on hormones and, you know, they're not even taking into consideration all these other factors. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. But also just generally, like, we get a lot of feedback that they feel, a lot of different people feel safe in our space, a lot of neurodivergent folks, just a lot of people who don't fit the general mold. Mm. And that's really what I want. People with disabilities are starting to come into the space with physical disabilities. That's been really cool as a physical therapist. That's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to feel and see that those folks feel safe coming into this space, whereas, you know, they're not going into like a Gold's Gym or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, community is by far the coolest and best thing that we do.
Oh, I love it. I'm all about community as well. So yeah. I love what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
You mentioned the phrase safe space a few times. Could you elaborate on what you mean exactly by safe space?
This is such a good question, and I don't know that I totally can, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
A safe space to me essentially means that there is a person, in this case me, who is allowing the marginalized people in and being exclusive in the people that we exclude, right? So it's not only about being like, we're accepting, our logo is rainbow, like all of the things. And if I come across somebody in my space who doesn't meet this criteria of creating the safe space, of being like, I'm an ally, I'm part of this community, I send them elsewhere. I'm like, hey, I know another great PT in the area. I think you'll have a great experience there. Here's another personal trainer. You know, like I send them elsewhere. And I think that's the most important part of a safe space. And I think a lot of people have a hard time with that because, you know, I'm all about like this inclusive environment and I call it an inclusive environment. But to be inclusive to a marginalized population, you have to be exclusive to the people who make that space unsafe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that's really hard, right? Because, you know, inclusivity should be about including everybody and all of these things. But what I've learned is that there are people who, one, aren't allies and who have very specific beliefs about my chosen family. And two, don't understand why a space like this needs to exist. And if you can't understand the need for this, you should probably go elsewhere, right? Like, I want to serve this community and our allies. So I'm not saying I exclude all people who don't fall into my community, but you have to be somewhat exclusive to truly create a safe space for a marginalized community.
That makes sense. There's a certain amount of discernment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Could you touch on some of the vocab for different gender identities?
Oh my God, how much time do you have?
I have all the time.
I think I've probably thrown some of this vocabulary around already in this podcast just because it's kind of second nature to me. But I think the main differentiators that I think all folks should be proficient with are cisgender, non-binary, and transgender. Those are kind of broadly, generally, like the three kind of categories that a person can fall into. And so a cisgender person is a person who was assigned female at birth and they identify as a woman today. So a cisgender woman, for folks outside of the queer community, are probably all of the people that they know, right? Yeah. Like it's unfortunately right now the default, right? And so cis for short, CIS. So I think that's what I used earlier. So a cis woman is a person who was assigned female at birth and now still identifies as a woman. A non-binary person kind of is this kind of middle ground. They generally use they, them pronouns. I identify as a non-binary person. I use they, them pronouns. And it's this idea, there's no real definition, right? Because it's a spectrum, but it's this idea that we identify as all of the genders and none of the genders kind of fluidly. Like, you know, we don't really identify as a man. We don't really identify as a woman. And maybe sometimes we identify as both. And, you know, so it's kind of this spectrum of, like, this gender spectrum. This idea that, like, we're all of it and none of it at the same time. Or maybe depending on the time of day.
Well, isn't gender a social construct?
Gender is absolutely a social construct, and I think everybody kind of falls into this this gender spectrum more than we'd like to admit. Like, you know, growing up, how often did you hear that little girls are tomboys, right?
Oh,
I think
God.
That's part of the gender
yeah.
spectrum too. And
yeah.
And there's just so much within, like, even if you look at the gay men, right? There's
mm-hmm.
such a spectrum of gender just in the way that they present to the world there. And
yeah.
And I think that's the fun of it, right?
Yes.
Like, that's
yes.
that's the fun of presenting to the world in all of these different ways, is that
mm-hmm.
you can be anywhere on the spectrum. Throughout a day, it can change,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why I think it's so fun. But I think society has identified this spectrum and labeled it in a different way. And what the queer community is saying is yes and,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're saying yes and.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that's kind of the non-binary loose definition, I guess, is what we can call it. It's kind of hard to define. And then the trans community is if a person is assigned female at birth and then they transition either medically or socially because they feel more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of variation in there too. And I don't think we should get into all of the nuance of all of the different
yeah.
gender
yeah.
things,
yeah.
but that's essentially what it is that if a person is assigned male at birth and they feel more feminine, they either medically or socially transition to becoming more feminine. And I do think it's important to note that a person doesn't have to medically transition to be considered a trans person. So medically transition meaning taking hormones or having surgery. Like a person doesn't have to change the way that they look at all to be considered trans.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important distinction that maybe society as a whole doesn't totally understand. Like, I think it's a lot
yeah.
easier to understand if a person is presented to you and they look like a man and they're like, I'm a trans man, and they're like, yes, you are, that makes sense to me, you know.
I see.
You had top surgery, like, I get it, right? And I think it's harder, like, if somebody who looked like me, for example, were to say I'm a trans man, I think it would be a lot harder for people, even though that's my experience and my identity. I think it's a lot harder for society to be like, yes, I see you as a trans man, I'm gonna use he, him pronouns, right? So, but I think it's an important distinction, and I say this all the time, but like, when somebody tells you who they are, just believe them, right?
I love that.
Just believe them. Like nobody has been around me longer than me, and so like, nobody
yeah.
can understand me better than me. And so like, if I come to you and I say like, hey, I'm non-binary, my pronouns are they them, like, instead of being like, well, you look like a woman, you could just be like, that's really great, like, I'm so happy that you're on this
yeah.
journey, or whatever it is. And that's kind of what I try to, that's like part of the education that I do, is like, just believe me, you know.
Yeah.
Or just believe anybody, not just me.
Yeah.
But for this example, me. But another example I use a lot is like men with long hair, right? So
okay.
I'll be like, well, I've never met a man with long hair, so you must be a woman. Because in my experience, right? But like, how ridiculous is that?
It's ridiculous.
But
yeah,
like, when you put it into the context of something that's more normal in society, or I've never met a man that wears a pink shirt, you must be a woman, right? Like, just these things that society perceives as more feminine. When you put it into that context, it's literally laughable, right?
It is.
It's literally laughable.
Yeah.
But if you put it into the context of queerness, all of a sudden people are like, wait, no, my perception of reality is the only true reality. And so there's this kind of disconnect there. But yeah, so that's what I try to do, is try to put it into terms of like general society and be like, this is ridiculous. Like,
yeah, it is.
This is ridiculous, right?
Well, and I like how you're touching on, it's about accepting and believing the person and not judging them.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a big deal. Like, even, I'm kind of new, and personally, I'm new to this, like, genderqueer, non-binary kind of space. And it's been, my life is inherently queer, right? Like, I run a queer health and wellness center.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
my
yeah.
I have two siblings. One of them is queer. Like, my life is very, very queer. So
uh-huh.
for me, I've been really privileged in that I didn't really come out. Like, people were just kind of like, I noticed you started going by Sid instead of Sydney. Do you want me to use different pronouns? And then it just
yeah.
kind of happened. And I can totally acknowledge that privilege. But even in that, there are still people who are like, oh my God, like, pronouns are just so hard for me, you know?
People get weird about pronouns.
And My sibling actually made a really good point that I hadn't considered. And they said, if you stop seeing the non-binary person as a woman, you will stop using she, her pronouns.
Oh, that's a great way
to put that. And it's something that I kind of hadn't considered before. And I know it's a hard shift and I'm not asking for it immediately, but it, like, if you stop seeing me as a woman and start seeing me as a non-binary person, it's so much like pronouns are then so simple.
Well, I feel bad I didn't ask you your pronouns before this interview.
Oh shoot, I feel bad I didn't say my pronouns.
Well, I don't know if I I don't know if I used the wrong pronouns. I don't think
No, you didn't.
How do you identify?
I identify as a non-binary person. It's this really interesting.
But do you identify as queer?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, okay. I identify as queer. Okay. I'm married to a woman.
Okay.
But I also don't identify as a lesbian, which is a really cool kind of shift in my sexuality.
I don't identify as a lesbian either.
It's this really fun thing where I am, like, attracted to trans mask people. Like, I really am. And trans femme people, if I'm being honest. Like, and so it's just been really fun for me to kind of explore that. And I guess tinker with my sexuality a little bit. It feels like I'm getting closer to, like, this is truly me in this moment. I've been out for 10 years, 11 years. And I've always just been very heartily, like, I am a lesbian, you know? And I played sports my whole life. I've been generally more mass presenting. And it's just been fun to kind of not be that.
Yeah. I never liked the lesbian box. No pun intended. But,
this podcast is great.
Yeah, but because, like, I felt like it was othering other people in the LGBT family. And I when I say I'm queer, it's more inclusive and I feel connected to other gay, trans, bisexual, pansexual. I feel more connected to them.
So this is something that has been very new for me, but I actually specifically have a hard time feeling comfortable in lesbian spaces. Because I have found, and listen, this shouldn't be true of all lesbian spaces and probably isn't, but in my experience with the lesbian spaces that I've been to, they're like, oh my God, you're a butch lesbian. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm kind of not that anymore. But the other thing too, and more importantly, is so all of the people that are near and dear to me are trans people. The people that work with me in my business, the people who are my best friends. I have kind of dabbled in the trans identity a little bit. And so it's just, like, a very near and dear thing to me. And they don't feel comfortable in those spaces because they shouldn't, you know, and that really is, it's tough for me. It's tough for me to go into a queer space and feel like I can't bring the people who are closest to me and, like, maybe even myself sometimes.
Well, I feel like I've been judged in those spaces. Not all lesbians are judgmental at all, but there's been times where I've gone to those spaces and I haven't felt like I fit, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look gay enough. You know, I've been told, like, oh, are you sure? I'm like,
yeah,
that's very judgmental. I mean, I was much younger then, but you know, I don't know. I've been kind of not welcomed.
Also. Yeah, because you're what, too femme presenting, right? Like,
you're saying, yeah, they're putting you in a box, in a different box, exactly. And so, and I get it. Like, people want to put people in boxes so they can kind of make sense, but queer is so open-ended, and
I love queer,
and it's evolving. And it's like, you can be, I can wear, you know, masculine clothes one day and then the next day look like a femme, right. You know, and it's not, yeah.
I will say, a quick plug, Eleanor's Tea Party is my favorite queer meetup group.
Never heard of this.
They're fairly new, but Eleanor's Tea Party. Lizzie and Carly are the two creators of it.
Okay.
And I'm forgetting both of their last names. Sorry, y'all. But they're the creators of it. They're very intentional about being a space for queer people, and do a really, really good job.
I love it.
And so if you're ever looking, they're great.
Okay.
And super inclusive and make everybody feel super welcome. And,
I love it.
Back to what you were saying. I mean, for me, taking myself out of the box was actually one of the most liberating things I've ever done. And I think it's hard because there's kind of like, it was liberating and I feel like myself and like all of these things. It's really scary because like for my whole life, I've had this community, right? Like I've been like, I can show up in lesbian spaces and feel super welcome and invited and all these things. And now all of a sudden I don't have this label, and not that I've lost the community, but I certainly don't feel as part of it as I once did.
Yeah.
And I even have issues like going to spaces like Women in Business, for example, is another one where I'm like, it's just hard. Like it just feels hard for me because it doesn't like, because I have the privilege of presenting like a woman still, like I have access to these spaces. It just doesn't feel true to me.
I see.
And I really struggle with that, like almost like identity of, I have access to this space because of my privilege, but like, that's not actually like at the core of who I am. I would never describe myself that way.
I see.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like this weird dichotomy.
I get it.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah, wow, we got it.
I love it.
A tangent.
I knew it would go there.
I'm sorry, man.
No, don't apologize. let's see. Okay, what's something interesting about physical therapy that people may not be aware of?
Wow. Well, so what I get the most often is that people think PT is only for people who have had surgery or old people.
Oh.
And like those are kind of the two groups of people who go to PT. And the really cool thing about the way that we run out wellness is that I'm a PT, but I also do personal training. And so there's this idea that like physically active people get hurt more often, right? And that doesn't mean you shouldn't be active. It just means you need to take a little bit better care of your body.
Yeah.
But in this model, it's cool because I can say, hey, you got hurt, either you tweak something with me or out there, still come, let's deal with this, but let's also keep working out. And so PT is very movement focused. That's a lot of what we do, is like analyzing people's movements and getting them moving in the best way possible. And so PT is for everybody. It really is for folks who have these like nagging injuries. It's for if you hurt your back yesterday. And it's also for people who just are maybe have like physical limitations or like chronic illness or like some of these maybe factors that would make a general personal trainer a little bit harder to work with. You could even go to a PT and get a general workout plan. I mean, we're trained in all of that. I'm really proud of what I do. I love what I do, that's probably the thing that I would say the most often is the feedback that I get.
So a lot of yoga people, yoga teachers included, listen to this podcast. And
hey, y'all. I waved like I just waved. Oh, God,
recorded.
I'm such a freaking moron.
You're being recorded. So those who are listening, she waved.
Gross.
not gross. So there's a lot of hypermobility with yoga people. We're just going off the script.
I love
off the
it.
Script now.
Yeah.
What do you recommend for people who are hypermobile?
Yeah, so I see a lot of folks with hypermobility, whether it's postpartum hypermobility, Ehlers-Danlos hypermobility, or just like general kind of folks who have looser joints.
Yeah.
But I treat that a lot because there's a lot of overlap between the queer community and chronic illness. And so the hypermobility kind of falls into that a lot. And so two things. One, getting strong is so important. It's not going to be this cure-all, but because the ligaments are more lax, your muscles are kind of the only thing creating stability there. But the most important thing with hypermobile folks is finding movement that feels good. And that can often be really hard.
Yeah.
And so I think having a lot of different ideas for these people to move is really important. And like literally whatever it is, like I've had folks where I'm like, Can you lay in your bed and pull your knees into your chest? Can you sit, do like 10 sitting up and standing and sitting into your chair? Like we can find the littlest movement, because not only is it about their physical state, but it's also about their mental state. And so as they start finding these movements that feel good, they're going to inherently be more willing to move.
I see. Yeah.
And so starting out, like meeting these people where they're at is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then as they start to feel better moving and they start to trust you, mm-hmm. Then over time you can be like, hey, I really think this is going to work. And at that point, they're mm-hmm. going to be like, I trust you. You've led me in the right direction thus far.
Cool.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And so those by far are the two most important things with folks who are hypermobile.
No, that's really helpful to hear that. Yeah, movement that feels good. I know in yoga and Pilates, people love to lock out those joints. And so I'm like, micro bend your elbows, micro bend your knees. And that really helps.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh.
Oh.
What is it like? Sorry, let me start over. I was like, that's a good question.
Neither of us read the script. I know. From the minute we wrote it, we're like, this looks good. And then
this
we just showed
it.
Let's
just forget about it. Well, we're getting near to the end of our questions.
Okay.
What is it like working with individuals who have top surgery and bottom surgery?
I kind of say that everything is the coolest part of what I do, but I think this is the most meaningful thing that I do. Folks don't have a lot of options. And honestly, for top surgery, a lot of folks don't even know that they should or could go to PT after top surgery. Uh-huh. And just creating this space and working with gender-affirming care centers here in town has been super meaningful. And we've seen some really great outcomes and quicker outcomes, which is awesome. But just being on this journey with these people and these people allowing me to be such a big part of this journey that they're on, is it just feels super meaningful and good. And getting to see their progression through, like, especially, I mean, using top surgery as an example, like they come to me, they can't move their arms past like their shoulder essentially. And then by the end we're like doing push-ups, you know. And so it's just a really cool transition from beginning to end. Bottom surgery obviously takes a lot longer, but similarly, you know, like, and not only having me be on their journey, but also just like watching their own transformation as they are more affirmed and feel more like themselves and have gender euphoria is truly like the coolest thing.
Yeah. I don't hear the phrase gender euphoria enough. What does that mean exactly?
So the opposite of gender euphoria is gender dysphoria, which I'm sure you have heard. So dysphoria in the context of the trans community and the non-binary community, but for right now the trans community, is when they basically look in the mirror and they're like, I feel like me on the inside, but that does not look like me on the outside.
I see.
And so that's why a lot of these folks will seek out gender-affirming care. And gender-affirming care can be anything, right? So it can be hormones and surgery, but it could also be like starting to dress differently, cutting your hair, working out and getting a bigger, smaller chest, you know, like working out to try to build bulk in areas that would be more affirming to you. So there's a lot of different things that can be true, but like as they start on this journey of gender affirming care, they start to look in the mirror and see what they have known to be true on the inside all along. And so when that starts to happen, that is gender euphoria. Yeah.
Ah, cool. I did not know that phrase.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on the internet and in real life?
Oh my God, such good questions. So we are at outwellnessatx.com, outwellnessatx on Instagram as well. And we are in South Central Austin, about 3-ish miles south of the river. I don't want to be more specific than that because right now we're in the middle of a move and I don't want to say one thing and then the podcast airs and people are showing up to the wrong place.
Yeah. It's a timeless, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Green content.
Exactly. Yeah. South Central Austin, we'll say.
So yeah, so we'll look on Instagram and see and, where you're
and
located.
that'll have all the info. And I really like hearing from folks too, you know. I try to be as responsive as I can on Instagram DMs. Y'all can also find our phone number on there as well. Feel free to shoot us a text there. I mean, I like interacting with our community as much as my schedule allows. And so hearing from folks, especially like this has been my journey or something like that is super meaningful. So yeah, if y'all feel inclined to connect, please do. We love that. Yeah.
So all that information is linked in the show notes. You are one click away from connecting with Sid Young and Out Wellness. Thank you, Sid, for being on the show. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
If this episode resonated with you, please share Yoga and Podcast with just one friend who you know will love it. Another way you could help the show grow is to rate and review it. I'll even send you some podcast stickers with a love note. So after you rate and review the show, please drop me a message with your mailing address and I'll hook you up. Thank you for your support. We could not grow without you. And we have grown in the past 4 years. We have grown because of you. So you have my undying love. If you want to say hi, our email address is yogaandpodcast@gmail.com. The and is spelled out. yogaandpodcast@gmail. Please follow us on Instagram at yogaandpodcast. We are on TikTok. The handle is also Yoga and Podcast. When you follow us, we follow right back on those platforms. Until next time, thank you for listening.